RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
Good morning, a beautiful Saturday morning here on Tee to Green. It is our weekly golf show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And we are live today at beautiful East Aurora Country Club here in East Aurora, New York, where the sun is out and people are already warming up, getting ready to play their round. It is a beautiful day. And Tee to Green is on the air with you for the next hour right here on WGR. We're excited to be here. Brian Colzio with you. Kevin Sylvester is working for PGA Tour Radio this week at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Kevin will join us a little bit later out of the show to give us the details on what's going on the pro scene. PGA Pro Jeff Metis, of course, part of our normal roundtable, is here. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Nice morning to be sitting outside, staring at a golf course. Grass is growing, sun is shining, golfers are walking around.
That's right. Yeah. When we were here earlier in the year, early April, we were inside in a real nice spot by their fireplace. But that was about 40 degrees.
Yes.
That was about like the second week of April.
That was a whole spring, wasn't it?
That's
about
right.
40 degrees, except
right.
For February. Yeah.
And now it's beautiful, and we're out here on their awesome patio that they just redid, and it looks really nice.
Makes you want to golf, doesn't it?
It
yeah.
does.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, this week we are here at East Aurora to look at next week's and preview and talk about the International Junior Masters, which is an annual event, one of the great events in Western New York golf. And we have two gentlemen that work very hard to put on one of the best shows in Western New York in terms of sports, and it is Jeff Kamian and Paul O'Brien, both directors of the International Junior Masters event. Jeff, good morning. Thanks
good morning.
For having us here.
Thanks for being here.
Paul, good morning to you as
good
well.
Morning.
Paul, move your mic just a tad closer there. We want to have everybody get to hear what you have to say. Thank you. Anyway, so it is an event that's back again. And we've been fortunate to talk with both of you over the course of the last few years since our radio show's been here. Jeff, let's start with you. How many years have you been involved in the tournament now here?
This is my fifth year. I got some training from the master over here. and we kind of split up our duties between finances and sponsors. And Paul chases players down literally from all over the world. And we're pleased to say that as of late last week or this week we have our field finally set.
As of yesterday, we're done.
That's right.
And we have all the flags now, right? Am I to understand? We have all. We're looking at the flags from all the nations that compete in this event. around the putting green here. It looks really, really cool. How many different nations are represented here at this event this week?
I think there's about nine this year.
Nine?
We've got kids from Spain, Egypt, Australia, Colombia, Venezuela, Mexico, Canada, of course. We have a young man from China this year. And I'm probably missing
Nicaragua.
We almost had the number one player from Nicaragua, and he was coming, and he ran into passport problems, and at the last minute he couldn't play. But we do hope to get him next year. He's still eligible.
Excellent. So it's the 65th annual, Jeff. So
correct.
Obviously, this event has gone on for many, many years. In terms of just what you like about it, I mean, the international feel I think is very cool. Of what Paul mentioned, those countries, but. For maybe those that just don't know a little bit about this tournament, maybe hearing it for the first time here, just tell us what it's about. What do you like about this event?
Well, what I like about it is so as you can imagine, I've been here last several days, you know, setting things up and working with our golf professional, Dave Jones, and along with Drew Thompson, our course superintendent, and just going through some things. And the international kids have arrived already for the most part. And so a couple of days ago, I ran into two young men from Australia and one from China, Peter Wang. And yesterday, we ran into Juan, I believe, Araujo. He's from Venezuela. And so that is that's very cool to see young kids that have really spent 20 hours traveling to get here, and that's why they get here early, so they can acclimate. And so that is really what I like about it. Very quickly on the format, we have two rounds of medal play, Tuesday all day, and then Wednesday morning. And top 32 play Wednesday afternoon in match play to determine who goes into the championship flight and who goes into what we're now calling our platinum flight. And and then on Thursday morning, we still have 80 players here playing five different brackets of 16 match play: championship, platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. And then we just play down, you know, March Madness style until Friday afternoon, when we will have champions in each of our five brackets.
Very cool.
So each kid will play two rounds minimum, and then there's a then you bracket it, right? Is that what you're saying? And then you go into these brackets of 16, and then they play down from there, and the overall champion comes from the top bracket.
Exactly right. So everybody is guaranteed to play
three rounds,
yeah. And the champion plays seven rounds over 4 days.
Right.
Very cool.
That's good. They're young.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of hills to walk
they can
up
handle
and down
it.
Here.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul O'Brien and Jeff Kamian here with us from East Aurora and part of the International Junior Masters Tournament Director. Also, of course, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here on Tee to Green. We are live at East Aurora Country Club. 7:06 is the time. Thanks for being with us here. Beautiful day for golf in Western New York. Hope you get a chance to go out and hit a few here along the way as some of the players here this morning and members are warming up here. We'll talk with Superintendent Drew Thompson, who actually was just putting out those flags, so we'll get his take. He's the course superintendent here, does a wonderful job about just set up for a tournament, what that is all about. You mentioned before, Jeff did, David Jones, the great PGA professional here. He's going to join us at 7:30 to talk about last week's U.S. Open, and also we'll go with our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, and as we said, Kevin Sylvester from the Travelers Championship in Connecticut at 7:50. So we've got a good show. Hope you can be with us here throughout on Tee to Green. All right, this tournament itself, this is the 65th edition.
So that's correct.
Is that right? So you've been doing something right, Paul, for many, many years. In fact, now 65 times. Just where would you say in terms of the growth, you've been with it for quite a while, what have you seen in terms of what you've liked and kind of where it's heading, and just the future of the tournament in terms of where it's heading?
Well, it's always been a member-run tournament, and you know, I've been involved with it for the last 8 or 9 years full-time and you know, very part-time before that, but over the years it's had several directors that you know, put their time in over the course of 4, 5, 6 years, and the members come out next week in droves to do the spotting and you know, chauffeur the media around the golf course, and that's always been the same. And you know what we've done with the help of Jeff and his business partner Ron Olson, and some of the other guys, Frank Zilkowski. We've been able to really increase the sponsorship support, and everything we do in the sponsorship side just gets poured into the tournament to make this, you know, the best experience these kids are going to have all year. And we're pretty confident we give them that.
Yeah. Talk about just some of the challenges of, as you said, you're in charge of a lot of getting the players involved and inviting and getting them here and some of those logistics. And you mentioned the countries they're coming from here. I mean, yes, we have some players from Western New York, and they're just going to drive. They're going to drive right up and park their car, or their parents are going to drive them right up and park their car. But some others here are taking, as you said, multiple flights. There's passports involved, and sometimes for youngsters, that's not always the easy thing. Just talk about some of those challenges.
Well, you know, sometimes the biggest challenge, it's kind of like herding cats. You know, you send out the emails with the invitations, and sometimes you don't hear back, and sometimes they gave you an email that isn't checked, and so there's those issues. There are the travel issues, and sometimes the language barriers. You know, where we're communicating, they're not understanding what we're communicating. Yeah. Sometimes, so it's things like that kind of, you know, really cause some difficulty in bringing the whole field together, but it does get done. And you know, then we had an injury withdrawal last week, or this week actually, and so that's why it took me till yesterday to actually finalize the field because of that. We do have kids locally. I'd say the best local prospect is probably Matt Genoway. This will be Matt's third tournament. Real fine player. We had the local qualifier here back in May, and I was actually surprised at how well the scores came in, because it was a very tough day, blowing 25, and the greens were very hard. So, you know, I was really pleased about that. And, you know, so we've got the contingent from Rochester, not as big as it has been in years past, but there's some good players there. I think some sleepers there that are going to play very well this week.
So a little bit about the history of the event. So we've had some, you know, this has been going on 65 years. We've had some very good champions come out of here, tour players, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the history of this event, like who's come through, what kind of players, you know.
Well, it started out, you know, in 53 with some of the greatest amateur players this country has ever produced. Ward Wetlaufer won the first one. John Konzik won the next two, and he won the fifth one. The only breakup in that was Eddie Pfister beat him the fourth year. And then we've had you know, great contingents from Quebec come down. It's amazing how well these kids from Quebec play golf, you know, in that northern climate. The Australians came in the early 90s, Immelman, Sabatini, Tim Clark, Martin Moritz, Wayne DeHaas, and they won three times. And then we had the Mexican teams and the Colombian teams started coming at that time as well. And they've been coming every year since. And I think the Colombians have just a dynamite team this year. You know, looking at those resumes, there's some really good players.
Goes to show it's more of a world game as we move forward. Even in the junior ranks, you're starting to see more of an international contingency. The game's being played more around the world than it is.
Yeah. And it's getting younger too. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of 18-year-olds in the tournament this year. Over half the field is 16 and under.
Wow.
So it's getting younger. And, you know, we had a 13-year-old winner, and I expect that's going to happen again. The last couple winners, I think, were 15.
Well, and that's, you know, some of that...
Not last year. But
some of that's,
no, right, not last year.
Some of that speaks to the match play format. It makes it, you know...
It's a little more quirky.
Yeah,
sure.
A little more unpredictable. You'll mm-hmm. see you'll see some kids who get just have a hot week and have the ball bounce right. But I know as a college coach, this is an event you're always looking at the standings, see how guys play during the qualifiers. So you'll have a bunch of eyes on you this week as you have some of the finer players from the world really watching.
To piggyback on what Paul said,
some past past not champions but contestants from Colombia. I guess the most prominent would be Camilo Villegas.
Yep.
It was about 10, 12 years ago. Jim Furyk played here in the late 80s.
Yeah, he's my age.
And locally of interest, Dudley Hart played here in the mid late 80s as well, and his son Ryan is here this year.
Oh, is he?
Oh, cool.
And also we have another one with some PGA pedigree, Tien Matisse.
Len Matisse.
Len Matisse's nephew. If you recall, Len was a he lost to Mike Weir, I believe, in the 2002. Masters and extra holes. I think that was the case. Yeah.
Well, if not, it's a great story.
Yeah, right.
Right. No, I think Weir did win the playoff.
Right,
that
yeah.
Year. But and David Haynes, who won last year's event,
correct,
is now playing college golf at
he
Canisius.
Plays at Canisius.
Right.
Yep.
Had a strong year there.
Matt Pollock, Niagara recruits, playing in this event this year.
That's right.
Nice young man.
Jeff, you coach Niagara,
yep.
So you know you've got players in it. I know. Obviously, you're familiar with Canisius' team as well because you guys play
very,
each other.
Very familiar.
So David.
Yep.
Is off and
very
running
nice
at Canisius.
Yeah. Yeah, good player. And this is, you know, this is such a neat showcase for the kids. I know how excited kids get to play in this event, especially a local kid. If you get a chance to get into this event, if you qualify, hey, that means you played well. That means I get to compete in my backyard against some of the best players in the country. I really get to make a name for myself. All these kids want to play college golf, so this is a great resume builder for junior golfers to come out here and have success at this event. So it's a big week. The kids are going to be amped up. You know, there'll be crowds out here. The golf course is set up tough. Like you say, you're playing kids you've never met before. It really, really a cool event for the kids, the local kids that do qualify.
7:15 the time here on Tee to Green on WGR. We're live at East Aurora Country Club. Next week, it'll be the International Junior Masters for the 65th time. Jeff Kamian and Paul O'Brien, tournament directors, are joining us here on site. And we'll have course superintendent Drew Thompson in just a few moments. PGA Pro David Jones along the way here as we continue our look at this event. I notice your program has a dedication to Arnold Palmer, which I think is a nice touch, obviously. And what does he have with connection to this event? I know you've even got a message in terms of what you have on the top of the program here?
He does. We have a flag posted in the bar room that Tommy Ahern got for us. Tom was a former house director, and it was a flag with just a little message from Arnold Palmer. And so Jeff had the idea this year that that'd be a nice cover for the book, just to dedicate this year's tournament to the memory of Arnold Palmer.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a member here that ran the Bay Hill event for Mr. Palmer?
Well, yeah,
years? Yeah.
Paul, I'll let you take.
Yeah,
that
that's Jim Bell, and Jim Bell passed away 2 years ago now. But Jim Bell was the guy who took this from the East Aurora Invitational to the International Junior Masters, and. Jim was hired in 1978 by Arnold Palmer to run the Citrus Open, which a couple years later became the Bay Hill Invitational. And Jim ran that for 27 years, but he was also on the board of the AJGA, so he was always a strong proponent of junior golf. And last year we dedicated a kind of a lifetime service award in Jim's name and presented that to our former members who's been now at Orchard Park, but He's here quite a lot, Mr. Sal Ferrari, and he's always been involved in junior golf and supporting this tournament.
Very, very cool. Some other players that you may have recognized that have participated in this event. Jeff, I know you'll know these names. Joey Sindelar has played in this event. Jeff Sluman from Rochester, you know, great PGA player and multiple winner on the PGA Tour. And Sluman now playing a regular schedule on the Champions Tour.
Yep.
Other players, Billy Andrade, you may know him in terms of his time for the PGA Tour. Woody Austin has played in this event. You mentioned the Pfister's name, of course. EJ Pfister, Jim Furyk, Dudley Hart, Billy Mayfair, Rory Sabatini, Tim Clark, Masters champion Trevor Immelman. So there's some. We mentioned Villegas too as well. Matt Every, who by the way is having a good week right now at the Travelers Championship. I know Kevin will update us on what's going on there, but I know Every was on the top of the leaderboard this weekend at the Travelers Championship. He's played here, too.
And Matt was a champion here, I think, in 2003.
2000. He I think Matt played here 4 years because he was the medalist in 90, I think it was 2001 that 2001. He won it, and 98 he was the medalist. So
if people want to come out and watch, because you're going to see some maybe future tour players, you're going to see some of the top junior talent in the country. What do we tell people that are listening that want to watch, come out and play, or come out and watch the players this week?
Come out and watch. We start at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Tee times run through about 11:15 or so. So the play will be wrapped up on Tuesday, probably by about 3 o'clock. Wednesday and Thursday are the days to come if you want to see the most golf. We're starting at 7 o'clock, and we will run to probably 6 o'clock both days. And so it's very busy. And, of course, Friday is the are the semifinals and finals, so a little bit less as far as number of golfers on the course, but much more at stake. And we should also mention that parking and admission is free. So there's no charge to
no spectator carts available, right?
No, there are no spectator carts. There are plenty of members here that will direct you to, you know, some prime spots to watch. There's a handful of places around the course where you can see three, four holes at
a time.
Last
year I parked myself
right
up there. Where is that in between there?
It's 11 and 13. You can see kids up the 8th green. You can see them teeing off on 11, coming into 12 green, teeing off in 13, and you can also see them coming in on 10 green.
I bet you'll have some low rounds in the qualifiers. I mean, these kids bash it today, and they're very, very good players. So I would imagine you're going to have some very, very good scores shot.
Yeah. Well, with that rain last night, the course has softened up a little. And our course record is held by Josh Stouffer, who played 3-4 years ago.
We know Josh, yeah. His dad's a PGA professional. Right. He played at St. Bonaventure University.
He did. He shot 65 out here on, I think it was the second day of the tournament.
That's pretty good. Beautiful. Yeah, he was a good college player. Very good college player.
Well, good luck, gentlemen. We know that you guys have put in a lot of hard work. And once you get to Tuesday, you can hopefully sit back and relax a little and enjoy the great golf that these guys are going to
get. Yeah, it's all fun for us now.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly
awesome.
Right.
Website, in case for those that maybe heard what you said but want to check it out later in the week.
www.internationaljuniormasters.com.
Okay, internationaljuniormasters.com. Yeah. Thanks,
and
guys.
Follow us on Twitter as well, because it will be
at
IJM Golf.
That's right.
And we'll be tweeting results out.
Beautiful. And I'll be retweeting those out as well. You can follow me at BrianWGR. Looking forward to coming out. Last year, I came out here with my son, who at the time 6, now 7. He loves playing golf. And I thought it's so cool because we can get, you know, you're obviously right there, so nice and close. I always say about this event and the Porter Cup at Niagara Falls, like if you have a son or a daughter that you feel like would get a chance, wants to see good golf right up in person, like this is a great event to bring a kid to.
Yeah.
Can I mention one more thing? We are promoting the game to the younger kids, and so we're encouraging kids to come out with their parents on Tuesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon around lunchtime. We're going to have free hot dogs and Pepsi as a, you know, an enticement to bring them out and watch a little golf.
What time is that?
Right around lunch.
Yeah. That's right.
You can have one too, Jeff.
Jeff,
big hot dog fan.
Brian, real quick,
Jeff, I know, save some hot dogs for the kids.
Jeff, that's right. I'll just take this home.
You mentioned the Porter Cup, and one thing we want to.
Oh yeah, you get an entry this year, right?
Yeah. We had some conversations with their tournament director, Mike Vitch, and Mike took it to their committee, and this year, for the first year, the IJM champion will receive an invitation to the Porter Cup. So we're excited about that, and we believe that's going to do it happened kind of late in the process this year, but as the word gets out, we believe that's going to really help us attract even higher
will
quality
be for
juniors.
2018 or 2017?
No, this year.
For
this year's event.
Great. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, that event is in kind of middle of July, and we'll be at Niagara Falls Country Club for
July
Porter Cup week.
19th.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, that's a great tie-in. In terms of just events, golf in Western New York, if you want to see it, got International Junior Masters next week here at East Aurora. The web.com event is at Peak and Peak the first week of July, and then the Porter Cup in mid-July at Niagara Falls Country Club. So three nice events that all, I think, do a great job.
At all levels of golf, too, which is really cool.
Well, Jeff and Paul, thank you so much for having us here again.
Thanks, Brian.
Good
Thanks,
luck
Jeff.
With the tournament.
Thanks for being here.
Awesome.
Yeah, good weather this week.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing. Jeff Kamian, Paul O'Brien, the co-directors of the International Junior Masters, and they're going to pass the headset off to their course superintendent, Drew Thompson, as we keep going here live on Tee to Green. I mean, I know we're going to be involved in terms of our show, obviously talking about all three of these events, but it's cool for Western New York. And I think what you said, though, is right, the three different levels that we're going to get to see.
You got one of the finer events in junior golf right here at East Aurora. You got one of the finer events in amateur golf, and you got a professional event with the Web.com Tour down at Peak and Peak. That's a great event, too. So I know there's still – Peak and Peak is still looking for
volunteers.
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to go and be a volunteer and get up close – they're still looking for that. That's real cool because those guys are going to be on tour. So you follow them like from juniors. Some of these kids will be playing in this event this way, and then they'll be playing in events like the Porter Cup over the next few years, and then they'll be playing
in
events
like
the Web.com.
They hope the Web.com event.
Yeah, they'll be working their way up. So come on out here, see what these kids can do. You know, as a college coach, I'm always impressed at how good and what the quality of golf has become throughout the last 10-15 years.
Since you mentioned it, I'll bring it up here. If you are interested, they are looking for volunteers. You can be a marshal, or you can be you can carry one of the scorecards down.
Standard bearer.
The standard bearers, right?
Yep.
It's the LECOM Health Challenge. That tournament's at the upper course at Peak and Peak, July 3rd to the 9th. And you can email them if you're interested. It's volunteer at LECOMHealthChallenge.com.
Yep.
All right, more on the International Junior Masters here. Superintendent here at East Aurora, Drew Thompson, has joined us. Drew, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for having us here.
My pleasure.
You've improved the weather since when we last spoke on, like, the first week of April. Thank you.
What a difference. Although you guys tend to bring the rain. Last time it was raining, we got about an inch last night. So.
Yeah, we didn't see anybody else when we were here last time. The weather was that poor, yes.
But now everybody's out and playing, and you looks like, again, doing a great job. This course is in great shape. We talked earlier when we were here in early April about the challenges of what you do in terms of a course. And then, of course, since we've last spoke, Drew, you've had the record month of rain that has gone along with it. What has that been like for you in terms of the upkeep of a course?
Well, you know, ultimately, we're in a pretty unique situation. We're lucky here. This place is a very sandy, gravelly golf course and drains, without exception, better than any place I've ever been.
Is that because of the slope?
Yeah, it has a lot to do with it. I mean, if we get a heavy rain, a lot of it can tend to run off. Uh-huh. So we dry. One of the downsides of that is we dry out very quickly, which from a golfing standpoint is a good thing. Uh-huh. So you know, we have a great infrastructure of drainage, but there's times I've been here where we've had 4 inches of rain overnight, and we've had carts out the next day. So it's a pretty unique property. The challenges are being able to get out and do what we have to do in order to maintain the golf course and make sure it's playable for the members.
I had a quick question. So a lot of people think, hey, if it's green and it's lush, that's the optimum playing conditions. But that's not always the case, is it? I mean, seeing a little – I've always been under the impression that a little brown around the edges is when the golf course is probably at its healthiest. Can you address that?
Absolutely. Water conservation has become a pretty big issue in the industry in this day and age. And everybody says, well, we live in Western New York and we got some of the most plentiful water supplies in the entire world. You know, why is that an issue here? You know, we're not just looking short term, we're looking long term. So, you know, keeping up on making sure that we're limiting our inputs, whether that be chemically or from an irrigation standpoint or from a fertility standpoint. We want to make sure that we're environmentally responsible when it comes to those types of things. So the water part of it, yeah, we're willing to put up with a little tinge of brown in the outskirts here and there.
Is that healthy for the plant? Is that healthy?
Most of the grass species that we're working with nowadays prefer it a little bit on the drier side. Annual bluegrass, a little bit of an exception to that rule. A lot of people have heard it referred to as Poa annual, or Johnny Miller calls it a number of different things.
But he says a lot.
That's right. He says a lot. Yes. Pay no attention to Johnny at times. That's right.
But, you know, it's a... one of the ways to try and thin some of that stuff out is to keep things on the drier side. And it's a much more enjoyable playing surface for the general golfer. You get a little bit more roll, a little bit more distance. It helps you keep your greens a little bit smoother and a little bit faster. So
what will you be looking for as a superintendent preparing the golf course for these players this week? Is there a different preparation? Is the rough going to be longer, the fairway shorter, anything like that? Or is it the course your members will be playing on a day-to-day basis?
It's pretty much the course our members playing on a day-to-day basis. We don't grow the rough up. We we run into a holiday week following this tournament, so it's important that we stay on top of those things when our members do come back out and play. They're not coming out and playing in a hayfield. So, you know, we keep on top of mowing the rough. Our rough is plenty penal. There's no doubt about that. You can ask anybody that plays here on a regular basis. From a green speed standpoint, any of that stuff, you know, some members here will say we slow them down a little bit for the tournament, but they'll still be rolling a respectable number. There's no doubt about
that. Well, and the green speed has to match the slope on the greens,
right?
Also, yeah, you can't have 14s on sloping greens.
We can really lose some pin placements if we get them too fast, so we've got to be conscious of that and make sure that we don't go overboard. And, you know, some of the best organizations in the world have made those mistakes. USGA's made it. And,
are they one of the best organizations in the world?
Well, that's a question, and we get a laugh from the gallery. Yeah.
That's right. I was at Shinnecock in 04 when they had that, when I remember in between greens, or in between groups, they were hosing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guys were waiting on the tee because they were hosing, I believe it was the par 3 seventh hole.
Right.
They're going back to Shinnecock next year, by the way, the U.S. Open.
I bet they do it different.
I'm sure that will not be. They had no controversy this past week, other than the fact that they cut down fescue and things like that.
They've got a superintendent at Shinnecock now named John Jennings, who is one of the best in the business, and he'll do a wonderful job with that event, I guarantee it.
When you watch, like, with the USGA, the U.S. Open gets more scrutiny than any other tournament, fairly or unfairly. Some of it's on their own doing. But, you know, Mike Davis comes on and talks about course setup, and you might have saw pictures last week. They were cutting down fescue and things like that. I mean, what's your opinion on if you were setting up the U.S. Open? I mean, do they do it right, or would you do some things differently?
I personally like to see the best in the world struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
And last week's tournament, I thought, was a little vanilla, you know, to be, you know, not to get too down on it, but it was still a fun tournament to watch. It lacked some of the drama of some of those tighter fairways that they used to have, of being narrow, not mowed tighter, but being narrower. And I loved to see them not be able to just bomb away, to have to think about their game a little bit more.
It did feel like in years past where that double bogey was always just
right
6 inches away
from,
you know, 6 inches offline. Now this year it didn't feel like that was happening as much. And I thought maybe that was a conscious decision by the USGA trying to avoid any problems.
They didn't want controversy this year.
A big part of what the USGA do, sometimes they have some faux pas, but a lot of it is their green section. The research that they do on turf grass and how to grow grass and water conservation and all the things.
Saw it at Pinehurst. They did a big thing with that a few years ago at the Open, where they
That's it. Yeah. They're in the forefront of USGA, the GCSAA, the PGA, everybody's coming together and partnering on that. We have an Environmental Institute for Golf that really looks at a lot of the things that we do. New York State, and we were the first, I believe, in the country, in the state of New York, to develop a best management practices for turf grass on golf courses. And since then, the GCSAA has required each state in the nation to follow our lead and have that. It's being environmentally conscious. It's making sure that we're taking care of the property in a responsible way, and minimizing our inputs and really making things better.
East Aurora Course Superintendent Drew Thompson with us here on Tee to Green. Drew, we appreciate you having us here again. I know you got the flags out, the international feel, and if there's one thing from every course superintendent I know, is that you guys are very prideful in your work, and I know probably seeing everybody enjoy the tournament this week, that's going to be a nice thing for you to see, obviously.
Yeah, it's an exciting week. I mean, we always enjoy it. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of work, before and after, more so than during work week, during the week of the tournament. But you don't get a lot of sleep. But it's nice to mull around, talk to the kids, talk to the parents, see how much they're enjoying themselves, and makes it all worthwhile.
Well, you sleep in the winter.
Yeah.
That's right.
I travel in the winter.
That's right. Well, the course looks great, and I hope you have great weather for the tournament as well.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Drew Thompson here from East Aurora. When we come back, David Jones, the PGA Pro here at East Aurora, will join us. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, his thoughts on the U.S. Open, and his thoughts on having the International Junior Masters here at East Aurora Country Club. We're live, Tee to Green, PGA Pro Jeff Minas. I'm Brian Colzio. Thanks for being with us. We'll step aside. More in a moment on WGR. Welcome back to East Aurora Country Club. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Metis, and we're also now pleased to be joined by PGA Pro David Jones, who's here at East Aurora, getting set for our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. David, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you? And Jeff, nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
We're wonderful. It's a beautiful day. As we said with the other guys on before last segment, a little warmer than when we last spoke with you in April when we were here, and it was like 40 and raining, as it was pretty much everywhere we went in April.
It seemed like it, yes.
Yeah, April was a tough month, and again, we had originally, I think, planned to set up inside this for this interview, and I like how we transitioned and overlooking the ninth green. It's a much better place to be.
Executive decision. It was easy.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice out here.
If we can be outside, we always want to be outside. It's great. So we're going to do our PGA Tip of the Week. We want to get your couple thoughts on the U.S. Open here, too, but just how about your thoughts and your role in the International Junior Masters? I know now this is not your first one anymore here, so just what have the weeks been like? What do you like about it most?
The innocence, the kids coming through. Yesterday we had a couple kids from some Spanish-speaking countries. I want to say Venezuela. A gentleman came in yesterday afternoon, and just to kind of watch them walk around, and you read some articles about the Venezuelan team in particular. And they're in the middle of a civil war, and to have them come up here and get a taste of maybe some different culture, to be surrounded in this beauty on this golf course, and just to kind of watch them walk around and know that they're going to compete. But also get a little break from maybe the day-to-day life that we don't necessarily experience, and maybe not the best tone. So I really enjoy seeing the kids come in. The kids from Australia flew in. What a good group of kids they are. They're just all good kids, and that's my favorite part about this event is just seeing the sheer innocence and knowing a tour player that comes out of this. You think Matt Every, as you mentioned in the or Trevor Immelman, when they walked down in these grounds, that they would have the careers that they had. Probably not, but they did, and it's nice to see that.
That's a great point, too, thinking about where some of these kids are coming from. Yes, some of them are coming from right down the road here in Western New York, but those travels from around the world, we don't realize sometimes how lucky we are here. We're sitting on a beautiful patio in front of a great golf course.
And first world problems, as we say. Yeah,
correct.
We can't complain here, and especially with what we do. And that's a good point. These kids are still kids, and I'm sure they're pretty geeked out to be here. It's a great experience for them. They're up in America for the first time. They're in this beautiful golf course and competing against the best players. It is neat, and I know they must be very excited. I can't imagine how nervous some of them will be on that first tee as they get ready to play tomorrow. Tuesday, right?
Tuesday. Yeah. All right, so we're going to get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week now. It's brought to you by the Western New York PGA, growing a giving game. And some advice for those Venezuelan kids listening on their WGR app this morning.
Translating it into Spanish.
That's
yes.
right.
A lot of people do
that. I think we have the automatic translator on the app. You press the button, it goes right into it for you.
Yes.
That's right. So this course has its challenges, David, so let's talk about those. And I know part of it is that there are some slopes. You'll have some uneven lies when players will walk up to their ball and get set to talk about that. So I want to get your thoughts and Jeff's thoughts on playing on even lies. Obviously, this is good for everybody listening here. You're not always going to have the perfectly flat lie to hit a ball from. So let's talk about hitting from an uneven lie.
Here, in particular, the only guaranteed flat lie you're going to have is on the tee box. Every hole has an element of topography that is undulating and moving, making the feet uncomfortable, making the stance uncomfortable. So when you're approaching the golf course here, you want to take that into consideration on all your shots. So you want to make sure that you try to treat each lie as level as you possibly can. That's probably my largest tip when offering instruction is to try to get your body in balance, but try to make your shoulders as level as you can with whatever slope that you're navigating. So if you have an uphill lie, you try to tilt back a little bit, a downhill lie, tilt forward a little bit. But if you can trick your body into thinking that it's a flat lie as best you can, you're going to have a greater deal of success. There's some ball flight rules that we know that are going to come into play. If the ball's below your feet, it's going to have a tendency to squirt right a little bit, maybe a little lower. So, you want to take those into consideration. Conversely, if the ball's above your feet, you want to aim a little right. You know that the ball's going to squirt a little bit left, maybe travel a little higher. So you want to take that into consideration with your club selection. But that's one of the One of the true gems of this golf course is that you have to treat every shot a little bit differently. It's not just playing on a driving range. And especially, slow with the length of the golf course. That's its defense. It's your lies and your greens.
And the shot I see most people struggle with is the uphill lie. If they're going, if they're trying to hit uphill and they're on a slope, people typically will hang back on their back foot. And what I like people to do if they have an uphill lie is make sure they get on that forefoot, make sure they rotate all the way through that shot. What will happen on those uphill lies is you'll end up hanging back, swinging up the slope, and that's a pull or a pull hook or a fat. So that's, I see people struggle with that a little bit more than the downhill lies where you can kind of just chase your club down the hill. So if you have one of those uphill lies, make sure you're rotating through, get your belt buckle facing that target through that shot so you don't hang on that back foot and hit a pull or a fat shot.
Yeah, that's good advice. And also advice too, just tournament golf. This is something that, you know, for some of these young kids, they've maybe played in some events like this before, but even for those just members at wherever they're playing at their own club, starting to get in July, starting to get into tournaments, it's just a little bit different feel, David, in terms of just maybe what's going on in between the ears when you're playing in a tournament.
It sure is. And you got to be patient. You have to be patient in tournament golf. You're not going to get it back on the next hole or even the next hole. You take each shot as it comes and deal with the consequences and make it the best you can.
And I like to tell people not to hit a shot they're not comfortable with during tournaments. If you can't hit a knockdown or you're not very good at a certain type of bunker shot, don't hit it. Hit a shot you can hit. Hit a shot you're comfortable. Also, ease into the round. You know, if you're golfing, pars or bogeys in the first couple holes aren't always bad. You want to avoid those big numbers. So maybe aim for the center of the green. Maybe be a little bit more conservative early in your round until you get into the flow, until you get comfortable, until you shake those nerves out. Little bit.
Absolutely. David Jones with us, PGA professional here at East Aurora, along with our PGA Pro Jeff Midas. I'm Brian Colziel here on Tee to Green. Hope you're enjoying our show here today from East Aurora Country Club. Next week, they'll host the International Junior Masters for the 65th time. Tournament been going on since 1953 with truly an international feel. You can check out all the information. Again, free for spectators to come at internationaljuniormasters.com. Before we let we go, David, how about just a thought on last week's U.S. Open? Brooks Koepka ends up winning. It didn't have the most traditional U.S. Open feel. A pretty low score in terms of what ended up being the winner for Koepka in the end.
You know, it was. And again, listening to your earlier segment, you know, golf courses are different. And I think that the USGA did the best they could setting up with what that golf course was. I don't think you're going to see a score 11 under next year. I think that the USGA is going to step in and probably for the short term at any rate to keep the scores close to level par as possible.
Yeah, and it's a different, like you said, that was a different type of golf course with wider fairways on the hills, and Shinnecock's more the traditional golf course that we'll see. You know, but I think they also want to avoid any kind of rehash of their previous events there. So I think they're moving away from that penal type of golf a little bit because people want to see birdies and people want to see players make, you know, great shots and stuff like that instead of just chipping it out. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. I thought it was a neat event. It did lack some of the drama that we're used to seeing because Brooks Koepka played so well down the stretch.
Yeah, let's give him credit. He was part of the reason why maybe it was boring at the end. Yeah. Or lacked the fire because he was pulling away. He wasn't coming back or somebody wasn't chasing him.
And he wasn't shaky at any point. He was just solid the whole way through, and obviously he can mash the golf ball, but it was neat to watch, and I thought he deserved it. He's a good player and he's been around file, and it was pretty cool.
David, can you tell me how to hit my 3-wood 379 like Koepka did?
Let's go to the airport.
awfully large downhill shot.
Yeah.
And we need, what, concrete fairways for that to happen?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
How about that? 379 with his 3-wood.
Yeah, it's a different game that he plays for sure.
How about Justin Thomas on 18 on Saturday? You know, 3-wood, 3-wood, 8 feet, 1 inch, and knock it in. These guys are...
From 632 yards.
Yeah, these guys are crazy athletes on top of everything else.
No doubt. David, thanks so much. Have a great time with the tournament next week. We wish you good weather as well. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Brian, Jeff, thanks again. We always appreciate you coming out.
Good to see you.
Same here. David Jones from East Aurora Country Club. We step aside here on Tee to Green. We'll get a live report from Connecticut in the Travelers Championship where the PGA Tour players are this week with Kevin Sylvester when we return right after this with PGA Pro Jeff Midas. I'm Brian Colziel. We're live here at East Aurora Country Club on WGR. /7:52. Welcome back. Final segment of our Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Midas. We want to thank PGA Pro David Jones for joining us last segment here from East Aurora. Good tip on hitting from uneven lies, which they'll encounter quite a bit here.
Yeah,
this course.
Like he said, there is not a flat spot on this golf course. Part of what makes it nice, it's a beautiful place to walk around.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. Our time now to check our PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf. The Travelers Championship going on in Connecticut. And Kevin Sylvester going to be joining us in just one moment. He's there working for PGA Tour Radio. And Jordan Spieth is your leader right now. He is 8-under par at through two rounds of play. Patrick Reed amongst those at -7. And some big names playing this event, some of which did not make it to the weekend. Jason Day played in this event, and he will not be sticking around for the weekend as well. For more on the event, we bring in Kevin Sylvester, who's live in Connecticut here at the tournament, the Travelers Championship. Kevin, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Brian?
We're great. We're at a great spot here. We're on the patio. We've been talking about the International Junior Masters throughout most of the show, and I know it's an event that you look forward to, and we're at a beautiful course here as well, which makes it quite nice for us.
Well, that patio location is fantastic at East Aurora Country Club, so you are in a good spot.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Travelers. Jordan Spieth's putter has been a struggle for him at times this year. Part of the reason maybe he's not where he is now in position this week, and that is in first place. Tell us what Spieth has been doing well and what you've seen and heard from him as to reasons why he's on top here heading into the weekend.
Well, you know, biggest reason he's on top, he had a great first round, you know, shooting at 63, 7-under par. You know, this golf course, TPC River Highlands, I think it's a fun golf course. There's a lot of birdies to be out there. You know, the front nine, you know, the first two holes, I think, are neat. You get up and then it's more traditional, but then the back nine is just fabulous. Just, you know, a great, fun golf course. You hit the fairway, you're going to have opportunities, you know, to put yourself in position for birdies. So round one scoring conditions were great. He took advantage of them. Yesterday, round two, the conditions were not that great for scoring because it was very breezy in Cromwell, Connecticut, which is just about 15 miles outside of downtown Hartford. And, you know, players had issues, struggled with that. Also, hole locations were very tough yesterday. So the course and conditions protected par a little bit better. You know, he had the double bogey on 13. He actually, you know, double crossed trying to hit a cut off the tee and hit it on the wrong side of the tracks, literally, which was, you know, out of bounds on that par 5, 13th hole. But he's in great position. They're going to go off in threesomes today off the front and back tees. Morning rain has been coming through here. There's still some spotty downpours that are coming through. So the tournament's third round is going to start at 11:15 this morning, and 2 hours of straight tee times off the front and back, just like the first two rounds to be played. So that'll be interesting to play in those threesomes this afternoon.
Jason Day, surprising, missing a couple cuts in a row. Anything you've noticed or heard? What's he's certainly not on top of his game. What do you know about that, Kevin?
Well, you know, he's struggled off the tee, which, you know, remember Jason Day when he was number one in the world and on that great run, he was straight as an arrow. I mean, it just, he hit it long and far, and it was straight. And he's just struggling with that and trying to find his way there. You know, every one of the guys who've been the top in the world, and let me extract speech from that conversation. You know, but let's talk about Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy. The difficulty and challenge of staying up there on top, and there have all been off-course circumstances, if you will, that may have taken from there, whether it be injury. You know, both McIlroy and Day have had injuries. Even Dustin Johnson has had injuries. You look at personal things. Dustin Johnson, you know, last week, you know, has a second child and, you know, misses a cut at the U.S. Open. Jason Day's mother's health situation, which she's doing great right now after cancer surgery. I mean, it's hard to, you know, play well and have things all when, you know, your mom's battling cancer. So that's certainly understandable stuff, you know, for Jason Day. And just trying to find his game. You know, I saw on the crawl on ESPN this morning, it said in golf, you know, Jason Day misses a second straight cut and signed for an incorrect scorecard. Well, he signed for a higher scorecard, but that crawl, you know, insinuated that that's why he missed the cut. It's not why he missed the cut. He was missing the cut anyways. But, you know, it's maybe where things are. He signed for a higher score than he actually had, you know, on the hole. So, you know, trying to find his way here. And, Jeff, as you know, those top players, you know, they're out there, you know, all or nothing really, and that's the way they're playing. And right now, there's a lot of nothing going on for Jason Day.
Kevin, before we let you go, I know that obviously you're heavily involved in our event. That we know Tee to Green is a big part of the Duster Putting Challenge coming up Friday, July 21st at the Fox Valley Club in Lancaster. Just want to, again, promote the event and talk about just where people can sign up and register.
Yeah, it's less than a month away, so if you've been contemplating it, you've got to get in to secure your spot. DusterChallenge.com. That's where you go and you register. You can learn more about it, see some photos from last year's event. If folks are wondering, what is it about? Listen, you're going to putt 18 holes, not on the course. They're all right there in the green, so it's a great atmosphere. Everybody's around, great social atmosphere. You know, putt 18 holes. The top 16 scores will move on to match play. That's for the adult division. Kids will go earlier. You know, we just do stroke play for the kids. They have a blast, and then we have movie after for them outside. The pool usage, you know, for a little while after that too. So it's a lot of things going on. And if you just want to come and check it out and participate, you know, you can purchase a spot to do that too, enjoying the food and all the atmosphere going on there too. So it's all July 21st, Fox Valley Club in Lancaster, you know, 5 p.m. We get things going. So sign up today, DusterChallenge.com.
Can hear Kevin on the weekend as he calls the action on PGA Tour Radio as the PGA Tour event again is in Connecticut at the Travelers Championship. Kevin, enjoy the weekend, and we'll obviously be catching up with you next week.
Okay, guys.
All right, Kevin Sylvester there from the PGA Tour event as we take a look now at our Champions Tour report, and it's brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook, affordable adult assisted living. The PGA Tour Champions players are at the American Family Insurance Championship. Through one round, Paul Broadhurst is your leader at 9-under par, a two-shot lead on Brian Henniger, who is at minus 7. Steve Stricker, Kenny Perry at minus 6. Stricker had a nice week at the U.S. Open in his home state of Wisconsin, made the cut, and actually got himself into a top 20 position. So he's trying to qualify to play the other majors this year on the PGA Tour.
And what was almost more impressive was the fact that he just went through local qualifying and got in. He didn't get an exemption. He had to fight his way to get into that tournament. That's one of the hardest things to do in golf. And then to perform that well in his home state in front of all those players, his fans and everything else, at his age, not that old, he's 50, but to compete against those young bucks, I thought he handled himself great. It was fun to watch.
Absolutely. Hey, we want to wish all of the Porter Cup qualifiers good luck Monday up at Niagara Falls Country Club. Yep. They will players will be competing for 10 spots in the Porter Cup, and I was told by media director Marty Schimmel that they normally give 8 entries out. They're actually going to go 10 because they have more qualifier or potential qualifiers coming in this year. So the top 10 on Monday's event will make the Porter Cup. We also know this week's winner here at the International Junior Masters here at East Aurora will also get a spot on the Porter Cup. A great tie-in there, as Jeff and Paul, the tournament director, said earlier.
It seems natural, and you know, it's funny they didn't think of it earlier, but yeah, you're going to have a very fine player come out of this who can certainly compete in that field. He may be young, but Will Thompson was pretty young, did pretty well in that event, and they're all pretty young. They're young amateurs, so good to see. Great events. I like that they're working in synergy with each other, and hopefully we'll see these guys from this event playing the Porter Cup and then playing the Web.com and then see him on tour shortly.
Absolutely. Again, the event, internationaljuniormasters.com. It's being held here with play starting on Tuesday going through the 30th. And you can follow all the action, internationaljuniormasters.com. The event is free. As they said, Tuesday and Thursday, Kids Day, free lunch for the kids. So if you get a chance to make it out here to East Aurora this week, we would encourage you to do so, to see some fine young golfers from across the world here with our International Junior Masters. Well, it is just past 8, so that'll put a wrap here on Tee to Green this morning. We want to thank all of our guests here. First of all, General Manager George Mincer for having us out here to start with. PGA Pro David Jones, Drew Thompson, the course superintendent, Jeff Kamian and Paul O'Brien, the co-tournament directors here at the International Junior Masters. Kevin Sylvester, of course, joining us on the phone. Jeff Midas, our PGA Pro. Jeff, have a great weekend.
Looking forward to it.
Brian Colziel here on Tee to Green. Want to thank Nate Geary back in our Amherst studios. I'll talk with you at 11. We'll be back with more NHL draft coverage. Day 2 with the Sabres, so I'll speak with you in a couple of hours right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.